All right, this is going to be a teaching called Waging a Good Warfare. It's going to be short, but it's going to be sweet. All right, I just read in the former word, the Prophet's Corner, 1 Timothy 1:18. I'm going to read that again.
That last one was a Prophet's Corner, morning into Nancy.
And I got the, it's not a former one, it's a new one. All right, 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I committed to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. All right, warfare in the Strong's. Military service. The apostolic career is one of hardship and danger. Here's what... There wasn't in the Strong's wage, but Webster's just says wage means reward or recompense. Wage, reward or recompense. Your warfare will be rewarded with victory when you find out first, when something presents itself, what you're supposed to do about it. Instead of just start doing a bunch of stuff. You know how we're religiously taught? You just do about it. You know... A lot of people in the Word of Faith movement were just parrots. Parrots. You know, Polly want a cracker? We just followed what they did. Now, probably what they were doing was by the Spirit, but we were just mimicking them. As children mimic their parents, right? All right. You got to find out what you're supposed to do about it. That's why I was up late in the night. Because I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to say anything. I want to know what's going on. How can you wage a good warfare if you don't know what's going on? You haven't heard from high command. You haven't been given your marching orders. You haven't been given the strategy. How can you do anything? Well, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I loose you, devils, you know, out of the situation. And, you know how we do. It's a mantra. It's a word of faith mantra. Nothing against word of faith. It's a mantra. We get just used to rebuking devils and binding and loosening in the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that, and plead the blood this, plead the blood that, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, if it works, that's fine, I guess, but if it doesn't work, if it ain't working, what do? We better be seeing the general about it, right? We better be asking him, okay, Lord, what's this about? Why am I here? What do you want me to do about it? And sitting and waiting and listening, praying in the Spirit, and getting what information that you need so you can wage a good warfare instead of just beating the air. Right? Well, that goes without saying. Yeah, when circumstances are not open to us, they're locked away from us. Yeah, you need a key to open that door. That's what the keys of the kingdom are. They're open and shut. Lock, unlock, bind and loose. Keys of the kingdom. But that doesn't mean just one key fits everything. Everything's the same. You know, you pray same old prayer, same old this, same old that. Just a fleshly thing that we have learned. Anytime the Lord's ever given me a direct word when I went to him about something and I spoke it, something happened immediately. I didn't just speak it, and months later here, I'm still sitting in the same position. Mm-mm. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to sit and wait and not react because of what you're going through, right? We've all done it, so we know. And we know it's not profitable, right? Just gets you all upset. James 1. My brethren, count it all joy. Say what? When you fall into divers temptation? Does that go against the grain? I'm sure Paul and Silas felt like praising God after they'd been beat and put in stocks. I'm sure they were in a lot of pain. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not a blubbering, you know what I'm saying? Be responsible. Be respectful. Let him ask in faith. Lord, you're the greatest. You're always with me. You always come through. Can you show me, Lord, what's going on according to your word? You said you would give me wisdom about it. Wouldn't you rather react to a child that comes and does it right than a kid throwing a fit? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's kind of like a little kid throwing a fit, and you just ignore it. I don't want to be ignored, do you? No, I want to come in the right way. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and give him praise. Butter him up real good. He'll say, okay, what do you want? Isn't that what you do when you got somebody that you favor and they just butter you up real good? Just give them anything, you know? Kids, grandkids, you know what I'm saying? All right, Isaiah 40. All right, this 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How can you mount if you have no strength? Think about that. Think about a soldier getting his orders and mounting his steed, going to battle. So if you're not going to wait upon the Lord so he can renew your strength, if you don't renew your strength, how can you mount? If you can't stand, how can you mount? To me, mount means you're going into warfare. You're going into battle. But you got to have strength to stand. Okay, let's read this in Ephesians chapter 6. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. The man knew what he was talking about. All right, y'all know this backwards and forwards. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. There's the first step. If you don't have that strength renewed, you forget about this. You can forget about it. You can forget about this warfare because first you got to be strong in the Lord. If you are just whipped and you are tired, you need to be before the Lord and you need to get strengthened. Then when you hear from God, then you can mount up. Do y'all see that today? In the power of His might. See, God renews our strength. Then put on the whole armor of God. What does a soldier do? We're talking, just think in David's day. What did a soldier do before he mounted? He put on his armor. Then he mounted his horse. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is engagement. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I sure would like to see some of them cusses. I sure would. I'd like to kick them in the face, punch them out. It'd be nice. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This whole warfare right here is about standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. That's why you got to wait. You got to find out what's going on. Then you have to get strengthened. Then you can stand and mount up. Go do the task at hand. Go do what God tells you to do. But don't try to go do it if you're whipped and beat. I hope y'all see that. It's never been about just doing the best you know. Most people live that way, and it's a life of failure. No, God has a plan for every single thing. That's why I've gotten to where, and I've told Danny, I said, I don't want to say anything until I know what I'm dealing with. And then God can give you the words to speak. But if you don't know, here we come back to beating the air. Why wear yourself out on stuff that's not going to do anything? The Christian church is this way. The churches we've been in, they couldn't blow fuzz off of a peanut. They couldn't. Do you want to remain that way, continue that way? That's why people are staying away from churches by the millions, because there's no power. That's why they're going to New Age. All right, 1 Samuel 23. This was the best example in the scripture that I could think of to bring this point home. Verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, or whatever, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up and smite these Philistines? The Lord said, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. All right. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go up to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Or Keilah, whatever it is. All All right, 10 and 11, the same chapter here. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. He's giving David a warning. He's asking God before he steps out and gets himself killed. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. He was supernaturally protected by God because he asked God. And God warned him, don't go there. He's in waiting for you. He's going to kill you. 1 Samuel 30, 8 and 9. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Boy, I tell you, you can really go in peace when you hear from the Lord, can't you? And so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. So he went on. He did what the Lord said. All right, let's keep going. 2 Samuel 2. 1 and 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. David just inquired of the Lord. All right, 2 Samuel 5. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Beth Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Yeah. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So not every time the Lord tells you, handle this situation this way, means every time you do it that way. Every situation has its own key, right? All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What does that mean? You don't just do stuff. Whatever you think is best. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. In other words, the fear tactics. What's an imagination? You start imagining evil, right? And you get scared. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's going to be something that goes contrary to what God has said. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, whatever that fear-mongering, you bring it under what God's Word says. No. Orders for this warfare come from high command. Once you stand up and mount up, it's over. Here's what it means to mount. Ascend, be high, act. Y'all get that? All right.